We do recover at the podium. Well, there's no podium. But...
I'm Stacy and I'm an addict. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same old dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
All right, it is a speaker meeting, and the first speaker that we have, late in the week, is Jen from Johnstown, from the Lower Mount Mountain.
Hi, guys. I'm a little nervous here. I'm Jen. I'm an addict. I was going to say, but Rick's not even up here, that the reason that I'm here, because that's my topic on why am I here. I was going to say, because Rick paid me a lot of money to do this. But he's not even here, so that joke's pretty lame. I've been, like, up in my head all day, like, what am I going to say, what am I going to say, and, like, I'm just here, I'm just one of you guys, you know, and I have to remember that, and James kind of put me in check, because, like, I don't know. I keep. Where's God in this? If I'm asking God to help me, I keep trying to push Him out. You know, I'm basically. I am like. I owe my life to this program. You know, and the people in it, and to God, because 52 months ago I was a whole mess, and my life was a mess, and I was on my way to death, and I know I was. The last time I was incarcerated, I was 87 pounds, and like. I wasn't healthy at all. Everything I did, like, I don't know, everything I did, I lost my kids. I'm a little nervous here, so bear with me. I lost my kids. That wasn't enough, you know. I lost my house. I lost my vehicles, you know. We all did that. But none of that was enough for me. I kept trying to find a better way to use successfully, and it wasn't happening. And what was happening to me is that my problems were multiplying, my consequences were getting greater, and I just kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going. And, you know, every time I got locked up, because I was a frequent flyer in ACJA, Westmoreland County, but it wasn't even enough for me there, because I always wanted to do the right thing whenever I left. But as soon as I would get let out, I just wanted to go get one more. You know, I'm going to go get one, and then I'm going to go get my kids back. Then I'm going to go do this and that. And that never happened because, you know, an old-timer in a program told me a long time ago that it's like getting hit by a train. You know, it's not the fourth or fifth one that'll kill you. It's the first one every time. And that's what happened to me. And, like, everything I did was about the next hit, you know. And today, my life is so different. My crack pipe never gave me the feelings that I feel inside. Like, I feel like $1 million standing here. Even though I'm a bundle of nerves, I feel like $1 million. And, like, I can't even express in words what this program has done for my life and my family. Because, like, when I was using, I thought I was only hurting myself. But I hurt so many people around me. You know, I have three kids that think the world of me today. And, like, there was a time in my life that my 19-year-old son today told my mother, you know, if I ever see my mom again, I'm going to spit in her face. For leaving me. But today, he like picked me up in the air and throws me around. And he told me, you know, Mom, I never respected you in my life more than I do today. And like, that to me, my pipe never gave me that feeling. I don't know about anybody else. But like, so like, everything I did back, you know, my clean date's April 7, 2006. And I didn't pick it, cops did, you know. But, like, it was that time, and I don't know why, you know, that I got this moment of clarity. I'm an addict through and through, you know. I live to use and use to live. I don't have to sit here and tell you about all my worst stories and what I did to get where I was. You know, I got married. I'll tell you real briefly. Like, I got married real young. You know, I had kids. I had kids, and things just, my life was spiraling downhill, and I didn't even realize it because I was in denial for so long, you know, and because I had the kids all at my house and stuff, but I was partying so hard, and you know, then my husband left me, and it's really weird because, you know, I was stuck in that triangle of self-obsession for so long. Everything was everybody else's fault because I never wanted to take a look at what Jen did and that, and nothing was wrong with me, and but really, you know, it was all me. Everything I did was based on my disease got the best of me. Everything I did was based on my drugs. You know, like I shot dope, I snorted dope, I smoked, you know, and I did all that stuff. And my kids were in my way, so like when they got taken away from me, like that was okay with me because I didn't have to worry about them no more. Because they were just in my way because, I don't know, like, using was a 24/7 job for me. I don't know about anybody else, you know. I went and did everything I had to do to get high every day. And, like, my life was so unmanageable. You know, I had the house, but I wouldn't go there. And I was going to your house and your house and your house to get showers and borrow your clothes because of the guilt and shame I felt of losing my children. And it was just so crazy. The last time I was incarcerated, I had this moment of clarity, you know. It's unexplainable to me. And I truly believe that this CO, you know, she was the biggest bitch up there in the prison. But, you know, my mom, and I have to say my mom is probably, like, my biggest fan. And I put her through the ringer. And she never left my side. Like, she was by my side all the time, every time. She was always up there to visit me in jail. And, you know, she was there, and I owe a lot to that woman, but she used to go looking for me, you know, and she'd see me on TV, and, you know, and she still never left my side, but, like, she kept calling the police on me, and it was just insane. Anyways, when I was locked up for the last time, this CO, she took pictures off the wall of my kids and threw them on the floor. And she told me, you know, you don't care about these kids, or you want to keep coming back here. And, you know, that was like my wake-up call. That was my moment of clarity. I know we all have different things that made us come here, but that, like, woke me up. And, like, I was like, you know, you're right. And, like, I would never tell her she was right because I'm real stubborn, you know. And I still think I owe this woman a letter to tell her how much she impacted my life, because I know I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for her. And, like, God works through people, and I truly believe that. And, like, I wrote the judge a letter, and my judge hated me. You know, I was a real big asshole. I'm still an asshole a lot of the times, but, like, I'm a positive asshole today, and I like to say that because, you know, I'm still real sick, and I'll get to that. That's why I still come here, because I still have a lot of things to work on. You know, the judge granted me parole to rehab into this halfway house, and, like, I really applied myself, because I learned it, like, I'll get out of this what I put into it. And, like, today I'm getting some things. Like, I had to work on my insides first, and when I started working on my insides, then I started getting things on the outside. And I like things. I like a lot of things. So that's where the addict in me comes in, too, because, like, now I'm getting things. I want more things. And, so then I ended up in rehab. But I still thought, like, you know, I really wanted to do this. But I thought I was hopeless and helpless because nobody did as bad things as I did. And nobody did to their kids, you know, leaving them home alone to go 2 hours away when my baby was still in a crib, you know. And I can say that today because it doesn't hurt me no more, because that's not the person I am anymore. But, like, I don't even know what the hell I was saying. What was I saying? What was that? Oh, so I was in rehab. You know, I started applying myself. I forgot what I was saying. That happens to me a lot. So I started applying myself from rehab, you know, and was opening myself to following suggestions, and I started learning some things. Because, see, I always thought that the Jen A way was the right way. Well, it's not, you know. I have this sponsor today that's really uncompassionate with me, very. Don't take my shit at all. And I always like to tell my sponsor how I want to do things, And my sponsor tells me, well, go ahead and call me when that doesn't work out for you. You know, and I hate following suggestions, but today I do sometimes. but I was, you know, I went to the rehab, I started applying myself, and I started learning some things. And then, like, I was able to see my kids for the first time in 3 years. You know, I walked out of their life for 3.5 years. My baby was in a crib, you know, and he didn't even know me and whatever. And again, I can't keep beating myself up about that. I'm just a better mother. Like, recovery has given my kids back their mom, you know. Recovery has given my mother back her daughter. And, like, I'm so truly grateful for that. I don't know if I said my clean date's April 7, 2006. I started, like, meeting really good people in this program. You know, I've met the best people in my life in this program. You know, and not all people in these rooms are good people. I've learned that, too. See, because some people in the rooms show me what to do, and some people in the rooms show me what not to do. And so every day it's a learning experience for me. And that's why I keep coming back every day, and I have to remain connected to this program because, you know, it was told to me that I need to keep recovery on my mind and my mind on recovery at all times because I find whenever I start slipping away from a couple meetings, you know, my attitude starts changing and stuff. You know, so, like, there's this morning meeting I go to every morning, and it's real chaotic and stuff there, and it's, like, really full of drama. But just the atmosphere of recovery, you know, just it just keeps me coming back. And like, I got really blessed and met some really good people and got a job again. And, you know, so then I started becoming that acceptable, responsible, and productive member of society that the program tells me that that's what's going to happen to me if I, you know, work some steps and apply some of these principles in my life, things start happening. And that's what happened to me. And, like, things have just been getting better and better and better and better in my life. Like, my quality of life is so different. You know, it tells me in the basic text that, like, see, because I was scared to change. I probably ain't even making sense because I'm just going on and on. But there's my ADHD. I have ADHD and it kicks in. I don't take no medication, so... you know, I was always afraid to change, right? I was always afraid to change. That's why I stayed out there. And the book tells me, you know, that me as an addict, I fear the unknown, you know. So I would rather stay stuck in that pain because, like, at the beginning, everything was fun. Like, I have a lot of memories. But, like, at the end, I was in nothing but pain and pain and pain. And I didn't even want to get high no more, but I didn't want to stop because I didn't want to change. And today I still don't like change that well. But it also tells me in the book that I need to take a step out on faith and try something different. And that's what I did. And when I started coming around the rooms and these people were telling me, like, you know, we love you, keep coming back. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, like, I'm a piece of shit, you know. And people loved me. And so I started loving myself. And, you know, James and I were talking on the way up here. No, I don't love myself every day. But that's okay, because I'm connected with a lot of people that will love me when I don't love myself, and people that are just like me, because I never was around a bunch of people that are so freaking different, but we're also the same, you know, and everybody understands everybody, and, like, that's what keeps me coming around here, and I don't know, like, I've been so blessed, and I could go on and on, I could go on and on about how my life has improved. But all I know is that if you just keep coming back, things will start happening. Like, they started happening for me. And, like, there was a time that stuff wasn't happening for me, you know, and things were just on a level plane and nothing was happening for me. So then I go with my sponsor and I say, why isn't anything happening for me? And my sponsor says, well, what the fuck are you doing for yourself? And really nothing. Because I hate working steps, you know. I hate calling my sponsor. Like, I hate all that stuff. But it's shit that I got to do to save my life. And so, like, I do it. Today I try to do things that I don't want to do. I try to face my fears, which I don't like doing. You know, like, my sponsee, she goes to church a lot. And, like, I never go to church. I always say, well, God comes to my house. I don't need to go to his. You know? So, but, like, it's really important to my sponsee to go to church, and so, like, I went, and I was scared shitless, and I went to church, and when I walked out of there, I felt like $1 million, so, like, recovery is teaching me to face my fears, and not be afraid, like, I was scared of that to come in here and speak, and I'm not really scared anymore, because I'm here, I was a nervous wreck, but really, I don't know. That's really all I have to say about why are we here, because I'm not supposed to be giving a lead up here. I'm just trying to tell you why I'm here. And that's why I keep coming back, because my life keeps getting better and better, and yours will too, as long as you keep coming back. And that's all I have to say.
James. I like us to please have some reflection of what a great time we've been having up here. But it's always about the addict who still suffers. And while we've been here this afternoon and into this evening, I don't know if you know, like I know, how many addicts took their last hit and will never have this opportunity to know why we are here. So if we could have a moment of silence for those addicts all over the world who took their last hit. Again, my name is James, and I'm an addict. I got to thank first and foremost Almighty God, who without a doubt has become my greatest source of strength and courage. I'm here to share with you on the topic of why are we here. And it's a great honor to be here with you. Newcomer, you are the most important person in any Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and don't you ever let nobody count you out. Because God has counted you in. You don't have to ask yourself, are you worthy? Play your own tape. If you use like I use, you tried to kill yourself like I tried to kill myself and paid for that. And you're here. Don't ever count yourself out. Surviving against all odds. We are addicts who meet regularly. I started using in 1963. You weren't even thought to be conceived then. My clean date is January 1st, 2002. Surviving against all odds. Near-death experiences, hopelessness, helplessness, uselessness, guilt, shame, deprivation, degradation, surviving against all odds, looking for a way out, wanting to stop and can't stop. Do you remember how it felt like the day before you got clean? I'm talking about the bewildered state of mind. That suicide looks like a better option than continuing to try to live. Spiritually dead. Broken. Them dumbass questions they used to ask us. Baby, what's wrong with you? When you gonna get yourself together? Do you got $20 or what? Do you feel what I'm saying to you, man? The only stop in the imagination of the mind is, can I get some more? The nightmare wasn't when I was at sleep. The nightmare started when I woke up. I had to find a ways and a means to get more from nothing. I had to belittle myself, degrade myself. I'm talking about at the end of the road when the youngest is talking about unk. It's over there. And I'm whispering under my breath, dirty little. But that ain't stopping me from going over there and getting it. You see what I did to myself? Not my mama, not my daddy, not the neighborhood. I'm talking about free will choice to put myself in that position when I know damn well I wasn't raised like that. I come up with Ozzie and Harriet. Hopalong Cassidy. You gotta go to TV land to see that shit. You understand what I'm saying to you? Superman and all, when the other Superman, he's dead now, he thought he was Superman, shot his own damn self. I should have known something was wrong with me as a child, because fantasy was the first thing I bit into. I'll never forget this. My mama bought me a Superman. That was my man. I got my Superman little outfit on with that red cape, and like a damn fool, I climb out on the garage roof and jumped. Recovery taught me that you better check reality, my man. That falling on my damn face taught me about reality, too. But watch this. I still wanted to get me some more dope. I knew it was real what I was feeling, too. But I still wanted to get me some more dope. I didn't know what to do. I'm not like a little quick, short burst user. I'm talking about using, man, from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s all the way up to that January 1st, 2002. This is what I'm going to tell you. Don't never let nobody count you out. I had 12 days when finally I had the ability to ask God to help me. He gave me 12 days to get to a rehab. Folks, young like y'all, piled all in there. I only saw the differences too. Until we put them circles up and we began to share, and I felt your pain. Didn't matter if you used as long as me. Didn't matter if you used what I used. I felt your pain. And I said, I don't ever want to feel like that again. And so, I'm coming back for the rehab, and the driver is in recovery. I didn't know that. Because he's handling his business side of things. But he said, when you get home, probably the best way for you to stay on this journey is to go to a meeting that night. He lets me out the van. I go into the building. I see the lady who processed me 12 days prior. But she processed me 12 days prior during the daylight shift. But God had her there that night. Because He knew I needed to see a face that was familiar enough that would allow me to get the courage to ask for help. Excuse me, can you tell me if there's any NA meetings nearby? Bring your bag back here, James, and walk through that door they just started. I'm trying to get you to understand why we are here, so that we can understand how precious we are. Not only in our own sight, but in God's sight. I know you might think I'm playing around, so let's check. After coming to NA, we found ourselves among a very special group of people who have suffered like us and found recovery. Do you know how many people is in this world? The billions of people that's in this world. Do you know how many addicts are in this world? But the very special group of people is in this room. And you don't know you special? You didn't use today, did you? Y'all told me not using is abnormal for an addict. Right? Now I get here, but I don't know a damn thing. And so my age, or how long I used, or what area of the city I came from, did not decrease my vulnerability or my fear. See, what you'll come to understand why we are here is that those who came before us already went through what we're going through. But a closed mouth won't ever get fed. Now, we're gifted people, but we ain't no damn mind readers. If there is one in here, though, with that very special ability, get with me after the meeting. And so I didn't know what to do, but I heard him say, pray, go to meetings, don't take nothing. And so I hooked up with a guy, he was just as new as me. He had the transportation, we met at that meeting, by the way, that night. He befriended me, and we started chasing these meetings. And we used to talk to one another on the meetings, trips to the meetings, and one of the things that we was really worried about was, is this some fucking cult? Because they started that chanting shit. As long as the tide that binds us, I said, oh, hell. Oh, hell, see, man, I knew it. And then he would come back at me, man, they're trying to brainwash us. Right? as if that funky thinking that was going on in our mind did not need brainwash. And so we began to listen to y'all. And we began to identify with you. And you began to break the barriers that we were trying to impose upon you until we found that there was no loopholes in this program. That it was by divine design. The book says, I don't have to understand the program in order for it to work. All I have to do is follow it. Now see, I know that that's a hard thing for an addict to do. So let's go back down memory lane. Who got the shit? Dude got it. But he just went around the corner because hot in the block. You trying to tell me you forgot how to follow? Good orderly direction. Two at a time, y'all. And we're not taking no shorts. I wouldn't give a damn if it was an elephant walking with me trying to come. Let's get these two together so we can do it. Good orderly direction. Now, I get in the rooms, right? My feelings start to come back. You say something to me that you know can help save my life, and I want to take offense. Who you talking to? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. That's why I met your ass in here. You the same as me. And so all that little stuff that I was thinking, you special people who were here and had the door open for me before I got here, already knew what kind of behaviors and thinking I was going to bring in here. I met you here. Apparently you thought the same way. It's called distorted thinking. It's the type that when I was new, if you was my flavor and you hugged me past 3 seconds, you were in a relationship and did not know it. I'm talking about our disease always resurfaces, man. Did you hear the speaker earlier? I was listening to them. He was not saying anything that he was exempt from distorted thinking till this day, some 27 years later. See, I heard him when he said he went to my home group. That's the first home group. It don't make us no better than any other home group. But here's what happened. Why we are here. God chose the right original members not to hoard that information. If you knew what these people went through to put this book together for us, some of them already knowing they'd never live to see this production. And they did it anyway. That's part of the reason why we're here. See, clean time speaks for itself. You can't tell me you've been here 35, 40, 20 years and have not met life on life's terms, kept your clean date, and you don't know something about recovery. Bullshit. See, I know better. So I'm not going to disrespect or dishonor this program, nor our predecessors, those who came before us, who had enough in their hearts to leave us something. My man said it. They tired and they're weary now, man. This is a pass it back program, not a skip over everybody program. And now they're running the relay and they're reaching the baton back and don't nobody want to grab it. But we love N.A. And we'll go to the dance. And now we have a learning day. We're area service. And we want to say it's a circus. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And then we want to be smart. Thank God. You better thank God for them trusted servants. Well, we wouldn't be up here. See, I know. I'm not like just making up some crap. Watch this. Although our minds told us that we would never make it. Remember them moments? The people in the fellowship gave us hope by insisting that we could recover. You remember how to insist on something? That's when they want 20. And you keep insisting they take 15. See, that same kind of diligence, that same kind of unconditional love existed in this room. Because you knew I didn't know nothing. And you knew I was going to misbehave. And you knew I was going to make bad decisions. And you didn't never turn your back on me. That's why we're here. Remember their early relationship in recovery? Oh, we're going to do this one, baby. Me and you, boo. We're going to ride the dock. And then one of them use. And you got to tell me how to get through that shit and keep my clean date. Recovery becomes real personal then. Because I got to make a decision. Either to go back to the old familiar pain, seeking comfort because the fear of change has crippled me. Or I can gather the courage from you insisting on I can make it. Because you had a similar experience before I got here and you walked me down through how to get through this clean. And as a result, my clean date has not changed. Now I'm going to let you know that before I've been back up here since the last time I was here, I lost my aunt, my uncle, two nephews, and both my brothers. But I ain't used. I have no excuses for me to use, and I can make as many as I want to. But I'm going to share this with you why we are here. Once we know, we can never go back to saying we don't know. Listen to their stories why we are here. I went to hit the thingy, and I thought about the people in the rooms. And I start crying even in the gallery or the crack house. Because I knew there was a better way to live. That's our evidence. See, that's our evidence. I ain't knocking nobody to come in and out, in and out, in and out. You know why? Because if God lets you back in, amongst the very special people, those, you got to look at these words sometimes. He ain't say just a special people. He said a very special people. That means he pays a little bit more attention. You know what I'm talking to you about? Those who work with folks that don't have a program and the attitudes and the behaviors of the people who work with you, and you can spot it, and then they get pissed at you because you get the promotion. This book said, once we get into this thing, we go all the way with it. And we practice these principles in all our affairs. It's a personal journey. And the road gets bumpy. How the hell are you going to get through fear if you ain't got to face something that's fearful? Come on. You know the pressures we're under. I'm working on a project. And I got to deal with people who will fund this project that ain't in this program. So for them to want to go take a cold one, they don't lose everything. Now I'm looking at a lot of money. You understand what I'm saying to you? My mind says if I don't take one with them, they might reject this thing. But recovery says stand on your principle. And by God's grace and mercy, they didn't reject. So we're going to have these opportunities to grow spiritually while we are here. But once we leave here, all bets is off. See, you told me if you wrote down what you really expected out of the program, you'd have shortchanged yourself. I'm talking about while we're here, we can learn that this is a limitless power that can take us to places that we had no idea we can go. I was telling my friend, don't put limitations on what God got for you. Didn't you never read that you could pray for something and then have to pray to get rid of it? Because we shortchange ourselves. I'm a human being. I can only see as far as I can see. And so that looks like it's plentiful. And God says, okay, that's all you want. You can have that. But I had this that I would have gave. And you know how you find out what he had for you? Because he gave it to the next one who didn't put limitations on it. Now I gotta work through resentments. Right, dirty mug. You feeling me? You know that's the truth. Right? And so, we continue to try to progressively get better. A day at a time. A second at a time if you have to. You nervous? Bring duct tape. Don't count on this, James, by yourself, Adele, Art, I'm thinking about this. You a damn fool. Right? Why you say that? Defense shit, you know. Why you say that? Well, you didn't look at this, this, and this. Oh. You talking about humility. And what did they teach us here? Humility is the ideal state for that. It's all right not to know. You been in the meetings with them? 30 seconds clean. We on step 6. And these motherfuckers talking about, I know. I know. See, the I knows closes the mind. And we can't grab the new idea on a closed mind. Humility will allow me to admit that I don't know. And so now I'm open to your suggestion. Based on your experience, strength, and hope of what worked for you. And now I have an opportunity to try it to see if it can work for me. I remember new in recovery, I used to go to this meeting, chair by the door, at the old St. Francis Hospital. Loved that meeting. I was hurt when they put that out of commission. And I started to meet and fellowship with people. And damn near 9 years later, I still meet and fellowship with those people. Now watch this. Some of them ain't with us no more. Same opportunity, hearing the same information, but one bad choice disconnected them from the real juice. That's why we buddy up. And that's nice. But it may come a time that that buddy system ain't going to work in your life. Because as we grow and develop, this is a program about growth and development, sometimes we grow apart. It's how I respond to growing apart from somebody that will keep me from character assassinating them just because it didn't work out based on what I thought it should have been. And so when we come here, I can still hear the message, fight through the feelings, and get another day clean. Now I'm going to share something with you. Real shit. I thought I had found my perfect mate. We had the NA outfits on and shit at the convention. Laying it all on, you know what I'm saying, on the bed. Oh, it's black and white tonight. We'll wear cream and yellow tomorrow or whatever. And one day they came in and they said, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, what? I don't want to do this. I still haven't had the full explanation. But acceptance has to kick in. Now, hear how God will let you know if it really kicked in. A few months down the road, I'm at my home group, and I'm doing clean time. And here they come in the door. With the new boo. And the new boo is celebrating. And I got the key tags. But I embraced them. And I knew that I was going to be all right. Because while we were here, walked me through that. And I understood that every addict has the right of choice without any explanation to me. You ever had one of them surprise parties life showed you since you've been clean? Where you didn't receive the invitation in the mail what was coming? But you stayed clean. Which gives us the opportunity to stay here. Which gives us the further opportunity to learn from one another. So that collectively, this facility out here has seen so much love and light through this fellowship, the we, that they continue to let us rent this place. Ain't nobody fought. I don't hear nobody saying, get out of my pocket. See, that's a small thing, maybe, to some. But for those of us that that's where we come from, and we can get that lax, that's your opportunity that while we're here to experience the principle of freedom. One of those things we so desperately sought all along. So I'm going to close with the shared experiences of our fellowship with this. If you're new, keep coming. If you've been here, please don't leave us. We need your guidance and direction. Answers are provided. And problems are solved. It is a great gift to feel human again. What a change from the way that we used to be. We know the NA program works. The program convinced us that we needed to change ourselves instead of trying to change the people and situations around us. We discovered new opportunities. We found a sense of self-worth. We learned self-respect. This is a program for learning. By working the steps, we come to accept the higher power's will. Acceptance leads to recovery. We lose our fear of the unknown. We are set free. Thank
you. I want to thank Jan and James for coming up and sharing on why we're here. Okay. Hey, you agree just for that.